Well, amen. If that music didn't light your fire this morning, your wood is definitely wet. Amen. Thank you, Leon. Thank you, praise team. And thank you, Birgit and mission team. I was just sitting there thinking we began the summer with the Peru mission trip and the youth mission trip. And then we had our VBS off campus at H.E. Corley Elementary School. And what a success that was. And then our back to school splash. And as a result of that, we're reaching people through that. And our trip to Good Samaritan Ministries in Gainesville, Georgia, and tonight, the Youth VBS. And we're closing out the summer on the 23rd with a church-wide picnic at Shelters 5 and 6 on Drew Island. And all you have to do is bring yourself. All food will be provided. And we are going to have a group that are going to be baptized that day, and we're looking forward to that. And then that Saturday night at 7 o'clock, you're going to get a peek preview if you'll come and be a part of a prayer service as we go back in on Sunday morning, the 24th, into our renovated worship facility. And so I invite you to be a part of that on Saturday the 23rd and Sunday the 24th. Bring your family, bring your friends as we come together to pray together on Saturday night as we enter our renovated worship facility. I'm so excited about what God has been doing through you and what He is doing through you, and I'm excited to know what God is going to do through you. I'm strengthened every time that I come and meet here in this body with you, and what you are allowing God to work in your hearts and work in your lives and how you're allowing God to grow you and to develop you and to mature you. What a song. Leon, I just can't tell you enough. I appreciate you, brother. I appreciate the music that he allows the Lord to put together every Sunday when we come into this place of worship. We've had a series of about six messages on prayer. We started, we'll close out our last Sunday in here next Sunday, the Lord willing, and we will have completed about six messages on prayer. I'm always excited to see when God answers prayers in your life. And this morning I learned that God had answered a prayer in a family in our church's life. And I've just asked them to come and take a minute and just share that with you. I think we need to be encouraged in our prayer life. Amen? I think we need to be encouraged when we have prayers answered. We need to share that as much as we can publicly. So often we share it privately, sometimes not at all. But I think it needs to be shared publicly. So I've asked Mark and Brandy to come take just a minute and tell us what God did this week in their life. Mark, Brandy? Amen. Amen. Many of you may not know, but Brandy is a recovering cancer survivor, having had surgery. And we are so grateful that God answered that prayer. Amen. But Mark shared something. Amen. Go ahead. Give God the praise. That's right. Give God the praise for that. But God did something else. Mark, you and Brandy.
A little more than we expected this morning. But going back to what Pastor Johnny said, and I guess the story that I told him this morning, it's no surprise because God has answered a lot of prayers in our lives over the last year, what we've gone through with Brandy's breast cancer. And, you know, I guess the message here that we've been hearing is that there's no prayer too small or too big, you know, for God. And I know sometimes you feel like, I know at least for myself, maybe that's right or wrong, but that some prayers are not as meaningful or too little, you know, to get out there. But, you know, I am very thankful for what God's done in our lives with Brandy's cancer. But this week, you know, for those that know us and are close to us, we've been trying to sell our house, you know, trying to get out to Chapin, get our kids in better schools, and we've been doing that for a while. And went to men's group Monday, and I guess it was Tuesday. I still had the Bible in the Jeep, and I don't know, I was going to pick the kids up for camp. And just had a little private moment in the garage, and I sat my hand on the Bible, and I said, Lord, just help us. You know, if it's your will, give us a hand and help us sell our home. You know, we really need to get this moving along. Pulled out the garage. 5 minutes later, Brandy calls me, and she's like, did you get that message from the realtor? And I was like, nobody's called me. What are you talking about? She's like, well, somebody wants to come look at the house. And I was like, okay, you know, because we've had people do that. And lo and behold, this couple, it seems like after that prayer, you know, they're the ones that are put an offer on our house, and it should be wrapped up today, hopefully. So It's just kind of odd how things go down, or not necessarily odd, but I guess it's God's way. So, amen. One more answer.
Thank you, brother. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Anybody else want to share what God's doing? All right. Going once. Going twice. Going three times. Turn in your Bibles to John chapter 11. And stand when you find it. And then hold your finger at John 17. I saw Dr. Leo Sin and his wife come in. He's a retired former pastor from Pine Grove Baptist Church and the Lexington Association. Make him welcome back there, you all. He's right back there in the corner. Hold your hand up and let him see you. He's one of those preachers that rides a motorcycle, y'all. Yeah, yeah, he's a motorcycle riding preacher. Every time I say him, I pray for him. A man at his age ought to have, well, I won't go there. We love you, brother. It's good to see you. Good to have you all in the service this morning. Thank you for being here. Now, I want to ask you a question. And you're going to say, I've lost it. And that's okay. Remember, I have that disease called AGE. I hope some of you live long enough to get it. Okay? Amen? How would you like to have 100% of your prayers answered? Sure. Raise your hand. How many of you would like to have 100% of your prayers answered? Now listen to me. What I'm about to read to you, we read over it in the Scripture. It just kind of goes past us in the Scripture. Now let me lay a little groundwork while you're standing here and listening. He is our elder brother. We're going to read in just a few minutes out of John 17 that God the Father loves me just as much as He loves Jesus. That's what the Word says. The same as it says John 3:16, okay? That's what it says, okay? Now what I've been trying to tell you all to do is do exactly what Mark did. Take God at His Word. At thy word, Lord, nevertheless, at thy word. We fished all night, nevertheless, at thy word. Be it unto me, Lord, be it unto me according to your word, Mary said when the angel Gabriel came. Last two Sundays, Psalms 119. 8 times, one of our sweet ladies emailed me this week and she said, Pastor, I went back and in my translation, there are actually 9 times it's in there in Psalms 119. At thy word. According to thy word. Now, when God speaks to us, He is our Father. He has our best interest at heart. He never, never, never makes a mistake. Therefore, He would never tell you that something was yours if it wasn't. Hello? He would never tell you, let every man be a lie, but God do what? Speak the truth. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth. You shall know the truth, and it shall set you free. Whom the Son sets free shall be free indeed. Now, you are a grafted in brother to the only begotten Son of God, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. You are engrafted in to the family of God, and therefore, we can call Him Abba, meaning Daddy, Daddy, just because He is our Daddy. Now, John chapter 11, verse 41 and following. Then they took away the stone from the place where Lazarus was dead, where he'd been laid. And Jesus lifted up His eyes and said, Father, I thank Thee that Thou hast heard me, and I knew that Thou hearest me sometimes. I knew that you heard me occasionally. I knew that if it was your will, you would hear me. 100% of the Lord's prayers were answered according to the will of God. Now, please don't get upset with me. I love you with all my heart. I've listened to great men of God. I have great men of God that are still mentors in my life. But I want you to understand something this morning. When God has said something in His Word to you, that's what He means. If He didn't, then you cannot say for a surety that you're saved here this morning, that you're born again, that you're blood washed and blood bought. You can't cut and paste. You can't pull out this page and say, well, this page doesn't apply, but this page does. Or this verse doesn't apply, but this verse does. It is either all His Word to us, church. Are you listening? Or it's not any of it His Word. Not parts of it. I had a prospective member, a guest that emailed me this week, emailed our church and wanted to know where the pastor stood on the 6 days of creation. I was thrilled to email that person back and say, let me tell you what I believe. I believe in 6 literal days of creation. I believe that's what the Bible says. And when you start destroying it at the beginning, then you destroy it all the way through, church. Now, that's just the introduction. Turn to John 17. And we're going to read the entire chapter of John 17. Now, prayer has one purpose and one purpose only. Now, many things flow out of that purpose. But remember that prayer has one purpose and one purpose only. And I don't know how many is in the King James. I counted about 9 or 10 times the words used in this chapter. But the purpose of prayer is to bring glory to the Father. Hallelujah. You remember the man that was born blind? You remember, we preached on that. Who sinned? Did his father sin? Did his mother sin? Did he sin while he was in? Well, it can't happen, you know. And Jesus said no. But that God might receive the glory from this. So anytime God answers prayer, it is for Him to be glorified through it. And I told a group Wednesday night in revival at my old home church where I grew up that I said to you all the other Sunday, and I mean this with all my heart, we pray prayers that don't have the power to blow the fuzz off of a peach. And the reason why it's not answered is not because God said, no, wait. It's because I've got sin in my life, more than likely, that I have not confessed. And according to Psalm 66, verse 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, any iniquity in my heart, anywhere in my heart, hid in my heart, God will not hear my prayer. And so when you begin your prayer life, the first thing you need to do is begin with an honest soul-searching confession of all known sin and ask God to call to your remembrance those things that may have crept in, those thoughts through in the day that you've already forgot about. When that person cut you off in traffic and you said, all right, John 17. These words spoke Jesus and lifted up His eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son may also glorify Thee, as Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him. And this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. I have glorified Thee on the earth. I have finished the work which You gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify Thou me with Thine own self, with the glory which I had with Thee before the world was. I have manifested Thy name unto all men whom Thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and Thou gavest them to me, and they have kept Thy word. Do you notice this? Do you notice this? Do you notice the continuity? How many times have you seen the word glory or glorify already? And then in verse 6, and they have kept thy what word? Jesus said, I do always in John chapter 8 those things which please the Father. No wonder 100% of his prayers was answered. Now they have known that all things whatever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me. Words are powerful. Proverbs says, look up here just a minute. Words are powerful. Proverbs says they are like apples of gold fitly spoken. Do you understand this morning in your tongue you have been given by God Almighty the ability, the confidence, the power, the assurance, the authority to call things that aren't as though they are. You have been given that. That is your right as God's child according to His Word. According to His Word. Verse 10. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep them through thine own name, those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. How? One as we are. That I might have the same relationship with the Father that the Son has with the Father. That I might enjoy and experience the same thing that the Son experienced with the Father. Now, Janie put something in your prayer bulletin for this week. What I'm sharing with you this morning is not normal thinking. But please know from my heart, it's the Word of God. It's what God has said to you and I. Who we are in Christ and our position that we have in Him. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name, those that thou gavest to me, and I kept, and none of them is lost, hallelujah, but the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in them. Child of God, well, I'll move on. I have given them thy word, and the world hated them because they are not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. You notice the difference here? You notice the parallels that he's praying in this prayer? I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world. I said to that congregation I was preaching revival to Tuesday night, we are to be salt and light. God's called us to be salt and light. If there's ever a time, we're supposed to be salt and light. We don't want to leave this world. God placed us here in this world, but He wants us to live victorious in this world. Amen? They are not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also who shall believe on me through their word. Please understand that the word belief here is, yes, talking about salvation, but it is so much more than salvation. It is moving from that point of salvation and growing in the grace and the knowledge and the wisdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, growing in His word. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent them. And the glory, there it is again, which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Notice the unity, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made one. Perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them. There it is, church. There it is. Mark it in your Bible. It's not a sin to mark it in your Bible. That thou hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Now look up here just a minute. Jesus was not talking about the love of John 3:16 at that verse. Jesus was never lost. Jesus never had to be saved. He's talking about that agape love, that he had with the Father, that existed with the Father in the councils of eternity past, and still existed when he came to live and to walk on the face of this earth for about 33 years. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me, and I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love which thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Thank you, and you may be seated. That microphone's giving me a shadow. I've got to slide my little podium to the side here. All right, quickly, I want to say some things to you. First of all, praying in the will of God. What does it mean to pray in the will of God? Well, James tells us that we ought to say, if the Lord will, we'll do this, that, or the other. That's what Mark and Brandy was praying about, the selling of their house. Those kind of prayers you pray, Lord, if it's your will. Lord, show me your will. Lord, reveal your will. You're going to buy a new pair of shoes, you need to pray about it. It might hurt your feet. They might look good on somebody else, but they hurt your feet. Hello? I have to pray about shoes that I buy because I have feet that hurt me every step that I take. And so I have to pray about that. I do. I pray about shoes. I pray about clothes that I buy. I say, God, show me. I walked into Belk's and there the coat was on the mannequin. I said, that's the one I believe the Lord wants me to have. I said, Lord, if you want me to have that coat, then they'll have it in my size. Guess what? They had it in my size. And when Roma got over there, I said, baby, I already got it. The Lord's already showed it to him. Now, you may laugh at that, and you may think that's incidental. You may think that's funny. I pray about our cat. I'm a cat lover. I'm a sucker, but I'm a dog lover, too. Just can't have a dog and a cat. Alvin will not allow a dog around the house. I saw a dog the other day. I'd love to have him. I told my wife I'd love to have him, but can't bring him home. Alvin won't allow another cat to be around. He's a one-person cat. He belongs to me, and he'll tell you that. And if something happens to Alvin, I pray about it. I pray about those things that are not spelled out to me in the Word of God. I say, God, reveal your will. Show me your will. Help me to understand your will. Make me to know your wisdom and your knowledge in this matter. Help me to see and to know that this is what you want me to do. And then I say, God, if it is not your will, then please do not allow me to go there. But I want you to understand this morning, when there are things that are spelled out in the Word of God that I'm told to do, I'm not going to say, Lord, if it's your will. I'm not going to do that. That's an insult to God to say, Lord, if it's your will, when he's already told me to do something. You don't, listen to me. You don't have to pray about witnessing to your neighbor. The Great Commission says, go. You don't have to pray, Lord, if it's your will, save so-and-so. It's already God's will. He's not willing that any should perish. You don't have to pray for the things that are spelled out, that it is the will of God already. First slide, Bridget. We're looking at the title. How did Jesus pray? He prayed according to the will of the Father. We sang it this morning. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Matthew 6:33 says, I am to do what? Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and what will happen? All things. Some things? A few things? Church? Start standing on the Word. When God has spoken to you, if I'm seeking the kingdom, listen to me, then I'm seeking the will of God. And you listen to me, you become a kingdom prayer and not a church prayer. And there's a difference. You're praying for God's kingdom, which is His will to come on earth as it is in heaven. You're praying for His will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. His will be fulfilled one day when there is a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. But the Word of God will stand forever, and it will not return void. It will accomplish that which He sends it forth to do. It will bring forth that which is pleasing unto Him. Next slide. What did He pray for? The things His Father told Him to pray about. The things His Father told Him to do. He said, I do always that work which My Father sent Me to do. I say only that which My Father told Me to say. Now, next slide. Quick message. Then how should we pray? How should you and I pray this morning? The same way Jesus prayed. Boy, some of you look at me like a cow eating briars. You don't know whether to swallow them or spit them out. And I know this is new thinking to some of you. I want you to know that you need to understand, and you need to know that my prayer life is to line up with the prayer life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when my prayer life lines up with the prayer life of the Lord Jesus Christ, then God will 100% answer my prayers. And He'll do the same for you. Why? Because you're praying for His kingdom to come on earth, for His will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Two things the disciples noticed about Jesus that they recognized, Luke chapter 11 and Luke chapter 17. The first one was, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. Most of us learn to pray this prayer. Now lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. God bless mom and daddy, grandmom and granddaddy, and everybody else. Amen. And most of us learned how to pray in church by hearing some other brother or some other sister pray. And most of us, if we're not careful, we tack on at the end of that prayer, Lord, if it's Your will. And please don't get upset with me. Please hear my heart this morning. And we do that, and then we have justification. We can say, well, it wasn't His will. And so He didn't answer my prayer. Or no, He said no. Or maybe He said wait. Now, church, find those things in the Scripture, and I'll stand up here and say I'm wrong. I'm trying to help you to begin to think and allow the Holy Spirit to pray through you. You know, I'm so thankful this morning when I get to the point that at this time, Brother Johnny doesn't know how to pray. Pastor Johnny doesn't know how to pray. And you know what God promised me in the 8th chapter of Romans? He said that the Holy Spirit would intercede for me with groanings and moanings which cannot be uttered by the human tongue. When you start praying in the will of God and you start praying the Word of God, you can never pray a wrong prayer. You will not pray a wrong prayer because the Holy Spirit will perfectly present that prayer to the Father in your feeble attempt. And I'm not being judgmental when I say that. In your feeble attempt sometimes, and you, the words just will not come to you. And in your heart, just remember the sole purpose of prayer is to glorify the Father. How is the Father glorified? When His will is done on earth as it is in heaven. Hallelujah, I could shout there. When His will is done in my life as it is in heaven. When I begin to walk and to grow in the Spirit of God in my prayer life to the point that I'm no longer praying these little now lay me down to sleep prayers. And I'm not being critical of that, okay? I'm not being judgmental of that. My mama taught me that prayer, okay? And I'd be critical of my mama if I don't want you to think I'm being, I'm just trying to say to you with all the love that's in my heart this morning. You know, the little boy named his pet rooster Fishadai. And he got it from the Lord's Prayer. The little prayer that his mama, not the Lord's Prayer, the little prayer his mama taught him to pray. Now lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep if I should die. See, before, if I should die. Y'all don't appreciate my farm jokes. I told you I'm just a farm boy. That's the only kind of humor I know is farm humor. How should we pray? The same way Jesus prayed. Line it up with the Word of God and stop tacking on. If it's the Word of God, what did I tell you about Colton? What did I keep telling you about Colton? What did I keep reminding you about Colton? When God reveals something to you and makes it clear in your heart, you do not err from that whatsoever. You stand on the Word of God. Paul says when you've done all, withstand, and then when everything else, you stand four times in the sixth chapter of Ephesians. Four times he says, stand, stand, withstand, stand. Now, I wouldn't stand here this morning and tell you all that I've had every prayer of mine answered. But I will stand here and tell you this morning that every time my prayer has lined up with the Word of God and the will of God, which is His will, by the way. Do you understand this is His will? Do you understand that? Nod your heads yes. This is His will. That's it right there. I have people come up to me all the time and say, preacher, I just don't know the Lord's will. And I said, get in the book, start reading. Start reading. Get in the book and start reading. And God will reveal His will to you, His perfect will to you, His perfect plan to your life. And so we stand on the Word. According to Thy Word, according to Thy Word, according to Thy Word. Let's go back to John chapter 11 for just a minute as I finish. Go back to John chapter 11. And I need you to see this morning. Verse 42. I know that thou hearest me always, but because of the people standing by, I said it that they might believe that you've sent me. The witness to the Word of God is always to glorify and bring honor and praise to the Father. When you and I pray, I've heard people pray to men. I've heard people pray to men in church. They're praying for those around them to hear what they're saying. And I'm not being judgmental when I say that. I'm not being critical when I say that. Please don't go there. That's not what I'm saying. Hear what I'm saying this morning. That's where they are in their prayer life. You remember the Pharisees? You remember they were on the streets? They were praying to be heard by men. Jesus said, go into your closet and close the door. Remember? Go into your closet and shut the door. And when you shut the door, pray to your Father who's in secret. And your Father who hears in secret will reward you how? Openly. 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 You see, because every manifestation of an answered prayer is to glorify God, that the people may know that God is God. Who He is. Who He is. And who He wants to be, and how He wants to be magnified, and how He wants to be exalted, and how He wants to be honored, and how He is worthy of all of our praise, and all of our glory, and all of our worship. And when He had thus spoken, He cried with a loud voice, and He said, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus! Come forth! You're not asleep now. You ought to be awake. No, He didn't whisper it. He spoke it in the authority that the Father had given Him and in the Father's name. And He said, Lazarus, you come out of that tomb. You come out of that tomb. And you know how He came out? came out with his head all bound. He got up and he walked out of that tomb. His sister said, Lord, he's been dead 4 days. He stinks. Jesus said, Father, I pray this prayer that those around may know that you've sent me. Lord, I'm praying this prayer that those around may know that there's a God in heaven that loves nothing better than to answer the prayers of his children. A church, I want to challenge you. One more message and we'll be through on a series. One more. I want to challenge you that you begin to take the Word of God, you begin to stand on it, and don't let anyone move you from it. Don't let anyone deter you from it. Don't let anyone give you one of those cliches. Next Sunday's Sunday school lesson talks about cliches. We are good at throwing cliches out, trying to make people feel better, trying to say something when we really end up saying, well, you know, just grin and bear it. How does that make you feel? Does that encourage you? Oh, just suck it up. Be tough. Does that make you feel better? You know? I hear so many cliches sometimes as a pastor. I say, would you please think of something new? I'd like to hear a new one. I'm serious. Stop using cliches. Stop using phrases that have no power. And begin to pray the inerrant, infallible Word of God that is truth without any mixture of error. And pray it like you mean it. And call things that aren't as though they are. Begin to do it. Be not afraid to do it. Expect God to answer your prayer. Expect God to hear your prayer. Be sure you're a clean vessel before you go there, okay? Be sure every gossip and thought is out of your heart. Be sure every lustful thought is out of your heart. Be sure every spirit of anger or indignation. Be sure every spirit of jealousy. Be sure every spirit of backbiting. Be sure every spirit of abomination is out of your heart. And then begin to take God at His Word. And pray, church. Put Him to the test. It's okay. He wants you to. He says, trust me and try me and prove me, saith the Lord of hosts. You bring the tithe into the storehouse and give it to God, what rightly belongs to God, and give Him His offering. He says, if you'll do it, I'll open up heaven. Well, listen to me. If He'll do that in that area, He'll do it in every other area in your life. And that includes your prayer life. Don't be afraid. Start praying bold prayers. That's what the Circle Maker, that's what Mark Batterson in the Circle Maker says. Start praying bold prayers. Church had been gathering for some time. And they had been praying about the local little joint right down the street. It had been a party night every Saturday night and way up into the wee hours on Sunday morning, and it disturbed the pastor and it disturbed the deacons and it disturbed some of the sisters in the church. But there was one little old sister it disturbed more than everybody else, and they prayed and prayed and prayed, and it seemed like nothing would happen. But one Saturday night early in the morning on Sunday morning, it burnt to the ground. They all got together at church on Sunday morning and they were just rejoicing that their prayer had been answered. The little sister stepped up to the pastor and she said, Pastor, she said, I want you to know last night about 1 o'clock I put feet to my prayers. I'm not telling you to take God's will in your hand, okay? I'm not telling you that, okay? She burned it down. I'm not, don't you walk out of here and say I'm telling you to do that. But I'm telling you to expect God to move. I'm telling you to expect God to do something. I'm telling you, expect God to meet that need in your life. You're dealing with depression. You're dealing with discouragement. You're dealing with all of those D's. You're dealing, whatever you're dealing with in your life this morning, no matter what age you are, no matter what's just happened in your life, I want you to understand there's a God above that loves you. Loves you more than any person, more than even your parents could have ever loved you, more than any family member could ever love you. There's a God in heaven this morning that loves you and has your best interests at heart. And He never makes a mistake. And no matter what He permits to come through our life at the time, it is for my growth and for my development and for my maturity that I may grow in His grace and in His knowledge and His wisdom. Stop praying fuzzball prayers. Start praying bold prayers. Father, I come to You. The reason I'm coming to You is that those around may know that there's a God in heaven. And I want You to be magnified. I want You to be glorified in this. Therefore, I'm calling Lazarus out of that tomb. Now, they had to let him lay there. Jesus had to let him lay there 4 days. You know why? Till his body was already in decay. You know why? Because there was a legend floating around in that day and that time that the spirit didn't immediately depart from the body, that it hovered around for a while before it left. It didn't leave until the third day. And so Jesus deliberately tarried 4 days. And He turned a stinking body into a well body. And you remember the final instructions that He gave to those gathered around? Loose him and let him go. I want to loose you in your prayer life. I want you to begin to pray in the Spirit of God. I want you to stop thinking about who's around you and who's hearing you. I won't call His name. Wednesday morning, I was down in the Low Country preaching revival, closing it out, and one of our deacons that came down to hear me called me, and he said, "Pastor Johnny, I need to tell you this." He said, "I was in a place this morning." And he said, "I looked around," and he said, "everywhere I looked," he said, "there was just sick people. There were just hurting people. There were just people that were just hurting. He said, "There was a mother, and there was a daughter, and this mother and this daughter were just so broken." And he said, I finally got up the courage. He said, "Pastor, it's the first time I've ever done it in my life." And I want to tell you something this morning. This is a godly man I'm talking about. A godly man I'm talking about. And he says, "Pastor, it's the first time I've ever done it in my life." He said, "I just went over to that mother and that daughter," and he said, "I just wrapped my arms around them." He said, "I forgot about who was in that room." And he said, "I forgot about myself." And he said, "I just laid my hands on them." And he said, "I just began to pray." And he said, "We had a shouting time right there in that waiting room in that doctor's office. We had a shouting time in that waiting room." Church, that's what it's about. Don't be intimidated by the world. Close it out. Make a closet right there. Make a closet. Get in that closet and wrap your arms around your brothers and sisters in Christ and begin to encourage them. Begin to lift them up. Begin to strengthen them in their faith. My goodness, we deal with, Roman and I were talking about this past week. We talk about persecution in other countries. Friend, let me tell you, there's persecution in this country right now. Everything that was right is wrong, and everything that was wrong is now right. It's flipped. It's reversed. And you as children of God today, you're being challenged by your beliefs and what you stand for. And what it does, it makes us back further up. It makes us cowering back further up. If there was ever a time we needed to be bold and step forward and pray and pray and pray. Tommy can be teaching, or Jim Davis can be teaching, and it doesn't matter. When I get up to walk out the senior adult Sunday school class every Sunday morning, Carol and Shula sitting right over there start praying right in the middle of their lesson. She don't care whether they're teaching the lesson or not. No disrespect to them. She starts praying for her pastor because she wants her pastor to be anointed by God when he steps in this holy place. Start doing it. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. Don't be shy. Be encouraged this morning. Be strengthened this morning. Start standing on the Word. Start taking the Father at His Word. Father, You made this promise to me. I am Your child. I am Your child. I can go back to the place in my life where I bowed my life, repented of my sins, invited Jesus to be my Lord and to be my Savior. Start praying bold prayers. Now when you start, look up here, don't miss this. Expect the enemy. Expect him. He'll let you read the Word of God, and he'll let you pray powerless prayers. And you can soothe your conscience and say, well, it wasn't God's will, or he said no, or he said wait. But when you start taking God at His Word and you begin to start standing on it, church, and you begin to do what I've done here this morning boldly, because I know, listen to me, I know some of you sitting out there where I was sitting some years ago. Traditional thought and traditional thinking about prayer. That's God's will to me and to you. That's what He said I can do. Stop letting people tell you you're not who you are. And that the Father doesn't love you as much as He loves the Son. I just read you the scripture that says He does. He'll answer your prayer the same way He answered the prayers of His Son. Would you bow your heads?